I'm just going to make sure the right mic is on. Hey, so nice to see you all. Welcome. It's our 10 a.m. June supervision support coaching call. Welcome to new people. Got some new folks from the class that just graduated, celebrating you all. How this works, if this is your first time or you haven't been for a while and you're double checking. If you want some support today, please put your name in the chat. We'll have time for two or three people. And what happens is you can bring anything from your client work. So if you have, perhaps you've got some challenges with particular clients you're working with that you want to ask questions about, maybe particularly related to, hey, Sarah. Just going through what we do. So you may have client issues, particular difficulties with particular clients that could be related to how each of you are showing up, or it could be related to a question around SBCA materials as you're using these and implementing these. You may have some sticky things you want to chat about. You can also bring anything to do with you and what's going on for you as a whole human, because we are just humans with some coaching skills. And you can also bring stuff around your business. So if you are like stuck on something or you're holding back around an area of your business, you can also bring that in and I'll coach you, mentor or supervise you. You probably won't know what I'm doing, but my brain is managing that. So this is just a space for you to kind of relax and soak it up and get supported. The chat is very much open. So we have most people will share what's going on for them or offer some cheering and support. So yeah, it's a good time. Anyone know that they definitely want some support today? Please put your name in the chat. Otherwise we'll have a short call. Sometimes people just come along to watch and that's all good. Oh yes, Lisa, that sounds great. And Sophie, great, awesome. Yeah, convoluted questions, vague ideas of something doesn't feel right. Right, you get to just show up as you. It's totally fine, we'll figure it out. So Lisa, since you stuck your hand up, we'll go with you. And Sarah, that's great. You've got some questions about archetypes. Perfect. Awesome. Okay, Lisa, do you wanna kick us off?
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Morning, everyone. So Sas, this is my client from before, where she's mum, she's in massive overwhelm, she runs her own business. We talked a lot about how she was very much in mother scapegoat, and I'm working with her specifically around changing her relationship with rest because she is really frightened that she's going to burn out. So we talked about it last time. It was really, really helpful. I had another session with her and I've got another one early next week. And I think where we left it last time, I was saying there was a lot of martyr stuff going on, and I felt, and you felt, that working on some warrior stuff might be really, really helpful with the boundaries and what she's allowing in. And yeah, you know, I really felt that that was something that we needed to work on. But actually, when we started to go there, I'm sorry if you can hear my dog, I think there's a delivery. When we started to go there, it just became really, she had a really intense couple of weeks anyway, and I think her overwhelm had just been exacerbated by that. And so when we started to explore what that the warrior energy is and all of that stuff, she could see how important that was to look at, but it just made her want to kind of go and lay down in a corner. Like, it just, that energy was just so not present for her.
Yeah.
And so we sort of worked with it, but we did it really gently, and I backed off from it if I felt like it was too much for her. And in the end, we ended up having like a really, really good, frank conversation about, I just sort of offered to her, look, how does it feel if I say to you, you don't need to work on any of this right now? Like, you know, it's totally okay to put all of this down if this is just adding to your load, because that's how it was slightly feeling. And she said that a part of her felt relieved to hear that, but her healthy self was saying, you cannot, like, it's, this isn't negotiable anymore. We need to look after you. And the message that came through was that it felt really important to her that we work on this, even though she was finding it quite hard to do. So I felt like we got real clarity over this is something she needs and wants, but it is feeling really hard. And so the kind of place I've come to with it is I'm feeling like we've got an awful lot of work to do that we can do around the compass. She's totally bought into working for a longer time. She's totally ditched the idea that we fixed her business in one session, like 8 years ago. So that's cool. But and obviously I've worked with her in the past and I've got a really good relationship with her. So it feels really good that we can go on a bit of a journey, and that's cool. And I feel like what we probably need to do is very lightly go around each point of the compass to the depth that she can cope with, and just see if we can keep it moving. That's kind of where I am at the moment, but I just wanted to share it and just see what you had to offer around it.
So what's coming up for me first of all is this is an amazing turnaround, right? In a couple of sessions you had, from memory, forgive me if I'm not remembering the details of your client, but she was like, I just need one session and can we just sort out my business? And then all of this other stuff came up.
Yeah. Well, it was can we sort out my relationship with rest, and can we do it quickly like we sorted my business out?
Right. Yeah. So I think it is like something for you to just really feel that kind of pride in, that my feeling is that you've been able to help her see the benefit of having the safe space for herself is massive, and that she's willing to commit to that for a longer term, I think is really her healthy self saying, I just need some help.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I guess what's coming up for me is, you know, we went through this last time, didn't we, that we're sort of seeing that there is this quite acute combination of martyr scapegoat energy that's partnering up, which is a classic burnout kind of, that's how burnout happens, right? We overgive to the point of overwhelm, and then we just turn turtle and go no more. So, you know, the way to work with that scapegoat is taking responsibility, keeping promises to yourself. That sounds like she is absolutely doing that.
That she's not keeping promises.
That she is doing that by taking responsibility and saying, this is not negotiable. We can't keep doing this. Yeah. I think is very much her healthy adult self, that warrior energy, like here and now.
Yeah.
Even in the depths of her burnout, there's a part of her that's like, yeah, but I can't do nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that could just form a really lovely way of reflecting back to her what you're seeing.
Mm.
Because I think when you're in that place of just zero energy, zero capacity, to have someone say, hey, this is what I see you doing.
Yeah.
Can be like, oh, maybe actually I'm further along than I think, or I'm doing better than I think, because I think we can tend to be our own worst enemy around this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I think anything that you can do to support her to keep some tiny promises to herself, whatever those look like. Maybe it's just, you know, getting up half hour early and having some quiet time to herself.
Mm.
Like, she doesn't have to do anything in that time. It's more about that I'm worthy of my own attention.
Yeah, and that is a huge thing. We did try to really hone in on a couple of things that she could do where she would keep that promise to herself. And I think that on the day that we talked about them, they felt doable and she was really up for it. And then stuff went on with her business, everything shifted, more was being asked of her, and it all just became too hard. And then she felt like she'd failed.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, there are some like big beliefs that we're sort of also working on alongside this. There's a huge amount of people pleasing and, you know, there's a lot of good girl, good mother stuff coming through. There's an awful lot of second guessing what everybody thinks about her and how she should be mothering and being. And within it all, what I feel really strongly is that she has been so busy kind of meeting all the expectations of people, either perceived or real. You know, there's an awful lot of imagining these expectations as well, and that she has essentially really lost touch with herself as an individual. That came through really strongly, and when we touched upon that, the tears came and there was a real sadness that she'd kind of lost that core of herself. And I don't know, I was feeling conflicted because part of me feels like we really do need to do more, a lot more work on these beliefs that she's holding. But at the same time, it feels like if you're, I can't really describe it. It felt like I would be asking somebody completely untethered to figure this stuff out that was sort of around that. And it's like, actually, I felt like what I really needed to do was bring her back to her first. Yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think as well, what can happen is when you've got a client with lots of complex stuff that's coming up, we can kind of get a bit entangled in the show. That's quite a lot. I don't know where to start. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know where to start. And I know for me, it's like, I want you to have a really good experience. I want this to be a source of joy for you in your life, because right now everything is tricky. So it's just worth paying attention to where you might be buying into, colluding with these beliefs that it is all too hard.
Yeah. I think I'm okay with it. I feel like where I was very aware of what I was seeing visually in terms of the overwhelm. Like, it was really very clear whenever we went into something that felt too big. I mean, we have covered a lot of ground. You know, she was telling me about, we were doing some belief biography stuff in the last session as well. I think because of where she is, she's sort of moving around quite a lot during sessions. And while part of me wants to sort of draw that into something really, really useful, I'm also aware that this unpacking just needs to happen, and it's coming out as it needs to come out. And so we did some of that as well. And I felt like she said at the end of the session, she said, I know it might feel like we've gone all over the place, but I feel like we've covered so much that I now need to go and think about and process.
Yeah.
And so
how does that feel to you when you get that feedback? We've covered so much and now I've got lots to think about.
I mean, in this instance, like, I wouldn't want to overwhelm somebody more, and I'm acutely aware of not having the sessions be that.
Yeah.
With this client, knowing her as I do, she is a, oh, I'm going to take that away kind of person. And then she comes back, you know, so it felt okay. It felt safe.
Yeah.
And the thing that I was finding tricky was how I want to help her move towards keeping promises to herself. Mm-hmm. And I'm also really aware that to keep promises to yourself, you've got to feel like you've got a self, and she's not been feeling like that.
Understand. Yeah.
And so we sort of rounded off. She was going away for a weekend, which is like a massive deal. And quite pivotal, I think. She was going away on a weekend with her sisters. It wasn't in any way the kind of weekend that she wanted. It wasn't going to be restful. It wasn't going to be cup filling. It was doing stuff her sisters wanted to do. It was another whole raft of people pleasing, when actually what she needed to do was just go and lay down somewhere for 3 days. She was going to Ibiza.
Right.
Couldn't have been less what she wanted to do. And she was really, really struggling with taking herself out of family and away from business and stuff. But it was also non-negotiable. There was absolutely, she was going, that was it. And so with all of this stuff, it felt like we had this huge amount of stuff on the table. I felt like the best way of helping her move forward was to just, even though it wasn't necessarily going to be the weekend that she craved, it was at least a break. It was at least a change in the day to day. And I was trying to help her look at it around, like, what if your only job, what if your only kind of task was to notice how you feel? Yeah. And just notice how, you know, what gives you joy or pleasure in that weekend? Like, what doesn't, what feels okay, what doesn't feel okay? Because I kind of feel like she just needs to get a sense of her edges again. It's like they've dissolved.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Makes total sense. And I guess, you know, as I'm just asking these clarifying questions and stuff, I guess what's coming up for me is, I think you're doing a beautiful job of holding someone in that complexity. Right? Like, she is clearly has a big, busy life and she feels overwhelmed. Part of the reason she has this big, busy life is because she's keeping everybody else happy. And part of that is because she's not really sure what she's saying yes and no to, because she isn't really aware of what brings her alive, what she wants, right? And that's how this all kind of works. And I think, you know, as a coach, it's sometimes really hard to find a way in, right? Because she's going to probably have a sense that this is just who I am now, even though it doesn't really feel good. So what I'm noticing you describe is ways that she is starting to get interested in her own experience, right? So we work with the Mata by acknowledging needs and noticing emotions, right? Just paying attention to that. And we work with the scapegoat by taking responsibility and keeping promises. Yeah. These can be the tiniest acts.
Mm.
And I think when someone's in real overwhelm, keeping this very small and doable is kind of the thing. So getting her to notice how she feels, getting her to acknowledge her needs, even if she doesn't advocate for them, is a great first step.
Yeah.
Getting her to see, what promises do I want to keep to myself? Is it, you know, just that I, you know, what's the smallest, most doable thing here? Because if we can't do those small doable things, then there's no way we're going to do the big changes. So, but I guess one of the things I would offer to both you and your client is that as she is acknowledging how she feels, what she needs, what she wants to take responsibility for, what promises she wants to keep for herself that feel good to her, she is finding her edges. She's getting to know herself through those things.
Yeah.
You know, what are we if not what we feel, what we need, what we do, what we don't do, right? Mm-hmm. So it may not be that she has a nice kind of clear vision of herself yet, but you're in that murky middle,
yeah.
Right? That's where you both are together on this coaching journey. So it makes complete sense to me that it is a bit cloudy and amorphous.
Yeah.
One of the things that might help her, if it doesn't feel like too much of a add-on, and you could build up to this if it does, is for her to start reflecting on the feelings and needs she's noticing.
Yeah.
On the promises that she finds difficult to keep and the ones that she wants to keep, but maybe is or isn't, or it's a bit mixed. And the way I always talk about this with clients is, do you shower every day? You know, okay, cool. That's a promise you're keeping to yourself, right? My bodily cleanliness matters to me. So we want the stuff you do to feel that natural. It's just what I do.
Yeah.
So part of this is allowing her to see how she is being in the world. And as soon as she starts writing that down, she's going to have a record of this. Yeah. Which, you know, she can share with you or talk about, read and talk about in your sessions.
Yeah.
So that you're able to then reflect back to her, you know, these moments where she has some choices to do things differently, which she may not feel ready to do yet, but she certainly will soon.
Yeah.
Because the more energy she builds up, the more rested she starts to feel, the more able she's going to feel around advocating for her own needs and wants.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's just helpful to unpack it because it does feel so messy and imperfect. And, yeah. You know, it doesn't feel like it follows this kind of model of how we progress. It's like, you know, we chuck those books out of the window and it's just really about sitting in the space.
Yeah.
And letting it be messy. And yeah, I think you're right. I think she was hearing the warrior stuff and just feeling like she had zero of it. And yeah, thanks for reminding me that actually there are things that she must be doing daily.
And remember, like, we all have all of those resources. Mm. It's just that sometimes they're a bit hidden. They're in the soil of our being. And we might not have coaxed them into life yet.
Mm.
Maybe they've been stamped out by other people, or people have said you can't have one, but it's like, you just get one. It comes with the packaging, right? So you have a sense of self-worth. It just might feel tiny right now. So part of this is to really coax that into being in a quite a compassionate way. Like, it's like it is, that's why I use the analogy of a seedling. Like, it needs love and some light and some care for it to kind of grow. And it loves shit, fertilizer. That's what things grow in, right? So the shitty experiences where she's feeling like, oh, so overwhelmed, that's the opportunity for her to say, okay, I need to do something different. And it becomes the way that you grow that stuff.
Yeah. I know from working with her pre-motherhood that she has had a real strong sense of that. And I think that's why, to begin with, it was really surprising for me to see this huge difference from before and after, even though on some level I know that that is what lots of mums experience. And I think at the moment there's a sense of loss for her. She's really sad about the fact that she doesn't have that warrior energy anymore, and that it feels like it's died.
Right.
And
I think
that where we tried to go with it was, look, it hasn't died, it's still there, it's just trampled or underneath a lot of layers at the moment.
And if you haven't given it any attention, then it will just be a bit dormant, That makes sense. And it's like, so the bringing that back to life is a couple of choices away.
Yeah.
Couple of days of keeping a promise to yourself. Couple of experiences of saying no to something, low risk.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, hang on. The person was like, oh, okay, when can you do it? You know, and you just need a couple of experiences of, you know, testing it out. What is it like to advocate for my own timeline? You know, one of the things the warrior's really grounded in, that's why it's so earthy, is it's a line in the sand. This is okay, this is not okay for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to think about this as, you know, the really pragmatic resources that we have, time, money, energy. When warrior's like really well developed, it's like we kind of own those things.
Yeah.
We're the guardians and advocates of those resources. So as she starts building up to that, it's like any tiny step she's taking to draw that line in the sand is bringing that energy to life.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. It's helpful.
It sounds like you're doing a great job, Lisa. That's a complex set of demands on a human, on any human being.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is tough to... Yeah, I think I've just had to re-evaluate the whole thing as we've moved through, and that has slightly unsettled me.
Yeah. Because
it felt like, to begin with, she was presenting some really clear beliefs that we could work on, and then for it to kind of become really clear that there are no resources to be dealing with that yet, we've got to go into her. That, I mean, it's beautiful and I'm loving it, but as well, but unsettling.
Well, and I guess the thing about this is there's no rush.
Yeah.
Right? If she's been experiencing this for a few years, or, you know, it's in different areas. It sounds like it's in her family, it's in her, you know, wider sibling relationships, it's in her business, then, you know, it will take a while to kind of reorient herself so that she is kind of leading from her healthy adult self. And that's okay. Like, how long does it take? You know? Yeah. And if she's willing to kind of invest in herself in this way, then beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the fact that she's begun is everything, you know, because she could have avoided this for so much longer.
Yeah. And I would offer as well, like, if you think about this through developmental stages, it sounds like the catalyst for her kind of losing that sense of, you know, worth and worthiness has been stepping into motherhood. But in the past, you've worked with her and it's been about her business and she's been skyrocketing with that, right? So it her sense of who she is forming.
Yeah.
Bringing in this new identity of mother, which is huge, right? It's everywhere.
Yeah, and it feels like a really key part of it all is coming to a point where she can decide who she is as a mother, as a person and as a mother, because it feels like what she's been doing for the last, because one of her children is 8 years old, it's not, she's not just in early motherhood, but it feels like she's been doing a stonking job of satisfying everybody else's idea of mother.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's the thread that runs through all of what we're doing, is getting to a place where she decides how this is for her.
And that's the thing, right? And that may be helpful to share with her, is that, you know, her sense of this is who I am as a mother, when that gets kind of formed and she feels pretty steady to stand in that place, like, that's when we'll know that she's where she, you know, is aiming for. And that's entirely possible. It's not easy, but it's a kind of very doable goal for the coaching.
Yeah, totally. Thank you, Sass.
Super welcome. Thanks, Lisa. Great share. Love it. Love this. Love it when we talk about real clients that are messy and don't follow a process, and don't follow any nice linear path through the coaching, because that's real. Yeah, so good. Sarah, can I answer your practical question and then we'll go to Sophie?
Yeah, it's a really, I'm hoping, simple one. The PDFs for the archetypes are quite big.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, is there an elegant way to send them to a client that doesn't involve lots of kind of like Dropbox links?
That's how I send them, is I put them in a Dropbox folder for the client. I just have a client folder, and yeah, I'll just stick any like tools or PDFs or anything in that one folder, and then they can just access it from any time. I put like recordings of calls and all that jazz in there.
Okay, that's neater. So everything in a folder rather than lots of links that's much neater. Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, some people are using WeTransfer, which is great. You know, if you're sending stuff, the way I tend to think about it is I want you to have one spot where you get everything related to you. So, yeah.
I really like that. I really like that. Thank you.
Very welcome. Okay, Sophie.
Hi, it's perfect timing. The doorbell might ring in a second. I might have to go. I'll be able to come back. But right, let me get my thoughts straight. That was actually really, that was super helpful, Lisa. Thank you. And some parallels, I think, with my thing. I think my question is basically how to kind of introduce these tools, not from the very beginning. So I'm working with someone who started in October. So I hadn't obviously started the course yet, or was just starting. Sorry about the dog. She wasn't explicitly coming to me for like self-belief coaching in particular. Like there were some confidence kind of topics, but it was mostly about transitioning from a job into another job. Like she'd already handed a notice in and was just finishing up. And that was because it was just like extremely stressful. Like she was getting burnt out and she needed a different role, which she found. But the theme that I'm noticing is that like she obviously has a bit of a difficult relationship with rest as well. And she's kind of brought that sense of being stressed and overwhelmed with her into a new role that is supposed to be more relaxing and more like less stressful. Sorry. Okay. He's not gonna stop. It's because there's something else. There's a big truck outside. Hang on,
anyone else got a dog? I totally appreciate you, Sophie. It's brilliant.
It's just so loud. I want to, and also the thing that I'm feeling quite conscious of at the moment is she's had a new thing has happened, which is that she's got like health stuff going on in her family that's like a big deal and quite scary. And so I'm really conscious of, I almost don't want to like put onto her, like I don't want to like suggest that she has self-doubt, although like everything that we've been talking about, all of the like I can see bits of all the protectors showing up in all these different ways, and I want to offer her some of those tools but without making it a self-doubt thing, if that kind of makes sense. Partly because I'm like, she's also just in a really difficult, horrible situation and she just needs to like look after herself through that, but I think those tools could help with that because she's finding it hard to like let herself have the self-care and the rest that she needs to deal with that stuff. So I just, does that make any sense?
Makes total sense. So I just want to reflect back what I've heard you say, just so I can check my understanding.
Yeah.
So you have this client who was quite stressed and overwhelmed and overworking and changed jobs thinking that won't follow me. It's all about the job. Mm-hmm. And has found actually the new job is she's also experiencing similar responses.
Yeah.
And she has this additional now health issue within her wider family that's also causing some stress and strain.
Yeah.
And you're wanting to support her and you can see there'll be some benefit in these tools, but it sounds like you're a bit hesitant to feel like you're suggesting it's all your self-doubt.
That's exactly what I mean.
I wonder if you could, because I think you described it so beautifully, and you may want to listen back to the recording here. When you were talking about this client, I can see that you're experiencing some stuff and I've got some tools to help you.
Mm.
Would you like to have a look at this?
Yeah.
Because I think one of the ways I would possibly start to work with this client is looking at the beliefs that are coming up around her work, right? So you may even want to do a bit of a belief download, right? Like she's got this job, you can put that in the middle of the page and then say, tell me all of the things that are coming up when you think about this job. It's what we use in the self-trust tools around a decision or dilemma. And all it does is just surface all the stuff that's coming up for this one context. And then you can sort of say, what feels like the most important one? Would you like to look at that in terms of how you're making sense of your job? And you could take her through the belief buster as a way of just saying, I want you to feel like you've got some choices about how you respond to this. So you've got this one belief that's something like, I can't do my job, or my job is too much for me, just pulling that out of the air. And that's one belief that feels true right now. But what's another belief that feels equally true that's more helpful? Right? What's another way of looking at this that you already believe, it's already true, And it's just a more helpful way of looking at this. What does that free you up to feel and to do? What's the next step that you could take? And all you're doing is, and you can explain this to her, which is whenever I take someone through, particularly the Belief Buster, is look, the aim here is just to slow down and observe what's already happening, right? You're already doing this, already living this. But what I want you to notice is how this is showing up in your life and what this is leading to, and to help you to feel resourced to choose an alternative. Right? That's equally true. And you could start with that, and then sort of as you start to maybe go through a couple of different beliefs, you're like, oh, I'm seeing a pattern here of the way you're responding to these things. You know, one of the, you know, coach trainings I've had is in this, in self-belief and how we build self-belief. And this fits with a, you know, a martyr type protector pattern. Can I talk to you about that? You know, it's that kind of thing. Just checking in. This might help. This is how I've, you know, how I can support you.
Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense. Thank you. I forgot to say that I have introduced one tool, probably, I don't know when it was quite a few sessions ago. We're sort of like 9 months in now. So it was kind of like maybe around the midpoint of that, which was because we did identify, and I can't remember how now when I think about it, I don't think I did a full like uncovering a protective belief, but it was very clear that the protective belief was around, or the risk even was disappointment. And she knows that, she's aware that she feels that she can't disappoint anyone, and that's very tied up in the work stuff and in family things as well. And I've actually given her the belief biography homework a couple of times to like unpack that, and I think she felt a lot of resistance to doing it. The first time I don't think she did it at all, and the second time she kind of had a go, but she didn't quite, maybe I didn't explain it well enough. I think she didn't, the things she had written down weren't really like examples of how this belief had been formed, they were more like almost things that reinforced it, which now yes, I say that.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, I should have picked up on that more at the time. Maybe that's another question. How long is too long to wait to be like, by the way, that thing you did 3 months ago.
You can say, you know what? I was thinking about you in the shower. Do you remember when you did that thing? I reckon we could have a look at that. That's coming up a lot.
Yeah, I think I need to do that.
You can be super, like really human about this and just say, I've been thinking about you and how to best support you. Yeah. I've done this with clients where I felt a little bit like we were kind of losing our connective threads a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes maybe, I don't know if you've experienced this, folks, but like if a client misses a session or it feels like you've sort of drifted away from the original goals of the coaching or whatever, like just saying, hey, I've been thinking, and I've sent an email before a session, I've been thinking about you, and you know, I'm revisiting what we originally agreed to, and I wonder if we could use a little bit of time at the start of our next session just to essentially recontract, right? To have a chat about what's going well for you, what you want to change about the coaching, how I can best support you. You know, we had a break or whatever. But I think just letting the client know, I see you, I am thinking about you, I want to support you, and it's totally okay for us to, you know, have a conversation about what's going on.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So I did that too, like this week, because amazing, she just renewed. And I'm now like putting all this together in my head, just as you say that, around the disappointment thing. Because basically, this was partly my fault. Like, I didn't really give her enough time. I gave her kind of like a mid, you know, one batch of coaching to the next batch check-in review, because I hadn't really done that formally before. I'd done like we'd had a coaching session that was kind of like looking back on her goals and looking how far she'd come and what had been impactful and what does she want more or less of. But I hadn't done it in a format. So this time I made a form and I was like, I'm going to make her write stuff down and like actually review it. But she did it literally 30 minutes before the call, which was like this week. And it was really brief. And I really got the sense that rather than, and I tried to make it clear in like the context of this, that it's not about giving me feedback on my coaching, it's about her reflecting on her experience. And but I do feel that she was almost trying to make me feel better, like, because I have said
she doesn't want to disappoint you.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because I had what did I say, I asked the question like, how can I best support you for the next 3 months, and all the answers were just very quite like surface level, and I did get the sense that she was just trying to like not disappoint me. So I wonder if that's just like a whole other thing that I can
It's a great thing to talk about. How to, even things like, I've been thinking about the way we restarted our sessions. And one of the things I just want to pick up on is there might be, like, that it's that thing where you just invite the client to claim it, right? Because they might go, oh, no, it's not a thing for me.
Yeah.
But there might be an expectation that you have to keep me happy, or that somehow you can disappoint me. And I just want to check in around that. And this could be an uncomfortable conversation for us to have, because I know you don't like disappointing people, but I want you to know that you can totally, there's nothing you could do that would disappoint me. I don't have expectations of you in that way.
Mm.
You know, it's, I think surfacing that stuff can be so healthy for the client.
Yeah. I feel like it's a good opportunity for her to practice, like, actively being able to disappoint someone. Yeah.
Notice as well, Soph, if you have that shared fear.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right. If that risk, because that's mine too.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it is.
And it's like, oh, I'm going to be totally zen with the client, but inside part of me is crumbling. Right. Like, it's really good to get some support on that.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I just had one more thing just relate to this same. Is it okay to just ask a little extra thing? It's just about the rest thing again, and about, I'm just thinking, like, I wrote a couple of things down from our last session that she's kind of moving through the world with this sense of, like, waiting for something bad to happen. Like, we did a whole, like, embodiment kind of thing in the last session around, like, she was talking about tension in her jaw and, like, getting headaches and stuff, and suddenly noticing that she's been sitting in, like, this complete, like, tense state. So we did, like, something, and I think that helped her, like, in the moment, and helped her, like, find a bit of, like, physical relaxation. And the other thing, the new job that she's moved to is much, much better than her other one, and the people are really nice, but then that's giving her this thing of, like, it's too good to be true. Like, she's waiting to get in trouble, or she's waiting for something to happen. And I can't remember where I was going with this. I think it was about something sparked in my head this morning. I was re-watching the Faces of the Protector, I think it was, videos, and I was thinking about the over-functioning, under-functioning piece, and how, because she talks a lot about how she's got better at being kind to herself, but she's still, her default is to be mean to herself. And so I'm just thinking of ways to help her, and you shared a good example actually of an experiment of, like, only speak kindly to yourself for 48 hours or something, and I'm wondering if that's the kind of thing I should have given her instead as homework, because I think I might have accidentally given her more, like, doing things to do, and that's probably just, like, feeding the critic part, which is obviously very strong anyway. I can't remember why that relates to what I just said about the waiting for something bad to happen, but it felt connected somehow.
One of the things I've noticed about that critic energy and the way that protector can show up is that it's often about managing the potential consequences, right? Mm. So this idea that it's safer for me to work really hard to keep proving myself than it is to do anything else.
Mm.
And it may be that she's added on because something bad might happen.
Yeah, I think that's definitely what's happening. Yeah, the proving thing is very evident in a lot of what she talks about.
So it could be, you know, it could be interesting just to explore that with her at some point, you know?
Yeah.
Where does that come from, you know? And it may be that even if you look at the belief biography of, you know, weird disappointment, her relationship with disappointment, how that has developed over the years, you might even just want to bring that up. Hey, I noticed that you say a few times that you're waiting for something bad to happen.
Mm.
Where does that fit in here? What do you think led to that? You know, and you're just allowing that curiosity to be there.
Mm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this is all making me think that part of what's happening here is that I have not been, like, bold enough to keep going with things. Like, she has a part of her that wants to keep things on the surface, and that shows up in, like, a lot of laughter, and, like, she's a very, like, bubbly, like, vivacious person, and I think that I sometimes let her get away with that. Like, we'll be going somewhere and then she'll laugh it off, and then I don't hold it long enough to get to the next place. So I think that is actually what is part of what I need to work on.
Well, it sounds like you're getting to know this client as much as she's allowing you to know her. Right. So you've been working with her for maybe 6 months and nine months, and you're getting to know someone who it sounds like has some amazingly effective strategies, right? But there's a part of her that's like, I want to do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
She's reinvesting in herself with working with you. She's clearly getting a lot from your coaching. In my experience, people don't tend to spend money if they're not getting...
Well, that's what I'm trying to remind myself too.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can let that be true. And part of this could be for you around, you know, where might I be being, and I call this being seduced by the survivor strategy, right? That happens all the time. I don't know any coach who hasn't been seduced by a survivor strategy of a client.
Yeah.
Especially if they're quite charismatic and bubbly and all of that stuff. But what I love is that you've got this real awareness or growing awareness of how your client is sort of keeping you at arm's length a little bit, which is, it's, you know, her absolutely in her gift to do that.
Yeah.
And that you're seeing through it could provide her with a little doorway to go a bit deeper.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Super helpful. Thank you very much.
Great questions. Great client too, Sophie. It sounds like she's got you right on your edge. It's brilliant. Nice work. Yeah, Melissa. Hi.
Hello, everyone. Hi. I didn't expect to have a question, but Sophie, you were so helpful because you triggered for me. I've been working with a client for some time, not on self-doubt or self-belief, really around career transition. And he's late 40s and looking at what's next in his career and planning for retirement, which is still some way off. But I've got, I think, a bit of anticipatory anxiety because it's been going well and a lot of the career transition is getting to own his strengths and see what he's good at. And there's a lot of confidence and belief coming through over the last few months. But he's asked me for the next session to spend some time on money. And he has a lot of anxiety that he won't have enough money for retirement and a lot of resentment about past decisions, this is his words, past investments that went bad, and resentment also that unlike peers, he hasn't invested in equity, he doesn't have a passive source of income, so he's very afraid when he stops working, he'll be kind of destitute. So with some of it's pulling apart the assumptions, right?
Yeah.
What is true and the abundance of what is not. And I guess it's part of can I bring in, similar to what Sophie said, the self-belief tools, because he's got a very critic and martyr energy normally. We've not talked like that. But now there also feels a little bit of scapegoat. He's got a great southern accent that's not Australian but another near country, and there's a lot of what seems like trauma from childhood, from parents, father, artists, and never having enough and very live by the seat of your pants adults in the family. So I guess the question is a little bit, how do I introduce, similarly, I'm anxious before the session because of what he wants to cover, and I need to clarify, is it about planning for retirement? Is it about you feeling resentment and anxiety? And where does he want to go in the session?
Yeah.
What does it comes up in terms of introducing self-belief? Because there is some of that in there, I think.
Well, I completely agree. And the thing is that if he's got a lot of resentment that's there, that's going to be the thing that gets in the way of him being able to have some perspective and clarity on the practical stuff, right? Well, we always feel stuff and then we act from there. So, you know, I think one of the things to recognize is it's a real service that you're giving him by saying, hey, what I'm seeing is that your sense of resentment is really worth looking at. Nothing's gone wrong. It's just an emotion, right? But it's really helpful to look at where that's come from and to make some peace with that, because I want you to have as much clarity and perspective and be taking action from like the healthiest, most adult part of you. What we don't want is the, you know, the 7-year-old boy who's worried about dinner coming from artistic parents who have no cash, yeah, making decisions about your retirement.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to use those words, but you know what I mean? Like that's, yeah, that's what happens when we don't heal that stuff.
Yeah. And you could introduce it perhaps similar to what you suggested with Sophie. You know, I've got a tool and it, almost like meaning making. It's almost, where has this
completely meaning making
memory about that?
Yeah. And what I would say is you want to take him through that super slow.
Yeah.
Ask lots of clarifying questions.
Yeah.
Like let that take up most of the session. And you can say to him, this is going to be a bit different to how we usually coach, but yeah, I know that this is the thing that will help you the most, or I feel this is the thing that will help you the most.
Thanks. And there's one more layer. It's also, he's the breadwinner in his marriage family. And there's also resentment his wife doesn't work,
yeah,
and feels that she needs more materially,
yeah,
than he does. Yep. And yet he's working and she's not. So he has not working, but not working for money.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, another layer of resentment that he feels that I could go and live on a farm, but I can't because my wife wants,
yeah,
all the material goods that she's accustomed to.
Well, yeah, and this is the thing, right? For us to kind of hold, for you to hold space for him, it's, yeah, like we just let that be there. That's his reality.
Yeah.
Right. He can, yeah, be as angry and resentful and pissed off at his wife as he wants. Totally cool.
Let him
have it.
Yeah.
This might be the only place in his life where he gets to voice that, yeah, very valid emotion of, there's a lot on my shoulders. And for you to say, that's okay. It's okay to feel that. Right? Nothing's gone wrong. You're just having an emotional response to your life. And I think what I would do, especially, and this is totally my bias of working with men, so this may not apply to your client, but often if you've got someone who is quite action oriented, right, just give me shit to do kind of clients, right, I don't want to feel anything, they broadly tend to mostly be men. Like women, obviously, there's no gender bias here, but I think for men, they tend to feel more comfortable when it comes to self-doubt to be taking action rather than sitting in the emotion. So the more you can just kind of set him up, so this is going to be a bit different from our usual sessions. I'm going to invite you to really explore your relationship with resentment. It's totally okay if this feels a little bit wobbly, you know, like there's no right way for you to process this. I'm right here, you're safe. Anything you can do to just allow him that session to just be with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's helpful.
Slow it right down, ask lots of clarifying questions, give yourself time at the end of the session to let him, like, you know, support himself to process after the session. All of that, it's just creating that sort of safe place for himself, really.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Very, very welcome. And one thing I would just offer as well, when you're doing the whole, like, what could have been going on that you don't know, you know, the last question, the meaning-making tool, what else could have been happening, really allow him to judge his parents if he needs to. Like, he can go to town there. And it's almost like you want to give people permission sometimes, particularly if you've got a client who doesn't want you to think that they're a bad person.
Yeah. And that's really helpful, Sass, because that it has dropped in a little bit through the last, yeah, few months. Sort of, yeah. My father's an artist and he's brilliant, I mean, but it was never enough
great
money.
Spot.
So he's dropped it in, yeah, every now and then.
Great spot. Yeah.
But I think it's come to look at it now. It's time to look at it.
And I think the more that we can just hold space for our whole client, like this is, and this really is the root of self-acceptance. You're allowed to have your emotions. You're allowed to have your needs. We want to give you a safe place just to feel them so that when you're outside of a session, you know that you can do that if you want to, if you need to. And we're like, you're a whole human being. You get to, all of your bits are welcome, right? It's that kind of vibe. And I think that's why for us as practitioners, the more we can be with our own full spectrum of emotions, the easier it can be to hold that for clients. I've had clients absolutely, like in-person sessions, huge amounts of anger coming up. And it's so interesting, like for a long time during my adult life, male anger in particular, I used to have like a really kind of trauma response to it. And now I'm just like, I can just totally feel it and hold it. And it feels like such a beautiful healing that I've been able to offer myself to be able to offer that to clients. So it's such a gift. So I just think, you know, for anyone who does feel like there's some emotions I find really tricky to be with, I totally feel you. And the more you can, you know, kind of expand your tolerance for that, the more you can hold for clients. Obviously, it doesn't happen that often that we get that kind of big anger stuff. But when it does, it's like when you can say, it's okay, it's welcome here. What do you need? Right? And you get someone just screaming into a pillow in front of you. Perfect. How do you feel now? Better. Good. We wanted that, right? Yeah. And it's safe. It's really cool. So yeah, all to say, Melissa, whatever you can do to help him to feel all of that is ace.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And if he comes to the conclusion that he needs to go see a financial advisor, then that would be a good action for him to take.
But if he comes to the conclusion that he needs to go see a therapist, that would be amazing.
As well. And I think it's probably both. I was like, I can see you, you know, a village around you right now. You need the financial planner for retirement because it's a real thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You need a therapist, and we can keep coaching on career transition.
Perfect. Yeah. Look at you resourcing the pants off of him. Yeah. Great. Great stuff. Yeah. Really cool.
Okay.
Nice work, folks. Hey, what a great session. Thank you so much for your company today. I will see you all next month. Yeah. All right. Take care, everybody. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.